are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by the SID Media. So just like all spiritual gifts we can be given, the gift of prophecy is relevant and important for this current time. Having the gift of prophecy means a person receives messages or insights from God. It does not change who the person is. So the big question is, what does the gift of gift of prophecy really entail? And we're joined on the line by Pastor Darlington Noah, who's going to be speaking to us about this. But my pastor, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And how are you?
I am good, Mpundi. I'm so happy this one is so clearer. Before we start, can you please pray for us?
Let us pray. Our dear Father who art above, Lord, we want to say thank you for this time and moment. Lord, help us as we are discussing. May the Holy Spirit guide us. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mpundisi, how does one gain the gift of prophecy? Can I, as Uzanele sitting here, just have the gift of prophecy?
Oh, thank you so much for the question. There are a quite number of factors which contributed for the one to gain a prophetic gift. Mm-hmm. Number one, it's about personal development. We get it from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Mm. When you are having a personal times of prayer, pause, ask God if he has something to show you or speak to you about the person or situation that you are praying for. Maybe you must record the prophetic insights and the experiences. This way, it helps you to know if you are called by God. Number two, you can get a prophetic sight by mentoring. We find it in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. If possible, look for a good mentor to help you grow in your prophetic journey. If a potential mentor is too busy to spend one-on-one time with you, you can still learn from them. Assisting them and observing them is a good practice. Then we move on to number three. You can do a small group. The best way to develop the gift of prophecy is to start in a place and atmosphere where you can have a go with the safe people that you trust. You need to be free to try prophecy and also be free to fail or feel foolish. Wherever as foolish looking to others as we think we are when we were beginning with the prophets. Then number three, you must live a church life. That is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Join a prophetic and a prayer community or another group in your church where you can utilize and grow your gift. Inquire as to the best way to submit a prophetic word to your leaders. It's important to follow any protocols, and the accountability this provides will help you grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Maybe I just mention just the few.
Yes, sir. You can go ahead.
Okay. You can also develop that prophetic gift, maybe by living in a wider Christian community. This is so because if you look at the training sessions, can be a great way to learn about prophets. In some training sessions, you can put what you learn into practice. Prophetic activation, if this is the case, ensure that the environment you will be learning in is safe and encourages accountability. Remember to weigh up carefully any prophetic insights that are given to you and submit them to oversight, especially if you are considering taking action as a result of a word.
Okay. So it,
maybe maybe with this information, one can know how to gain a prophetic gift from God. Yes.
Okay. So what qualifies a person, my pastor, to be a prophet? Do we have to do certain things? Do we maybe, for example, have to know the Bible from start to finish for us to be prophets? Are there things that we that qualifies one?
Okay, thank you so much for the question. The qualification of a prophet now. There are several biblical qualifications of a prophet according to the scriptures. This person is used by God to communicate his message to the world. He is also called a seer because he could see dreams and visions from God. That is according to 1 Samuel 9, verse 9. The Bible now gives the following qualifications. Number one, if you want to qualify to be a prophet, you must obey God's calling. Number two, lives a godly life. Number three, teaches the word of God. The following number, predicts future events. Then has visions or dreams. Let me try to explain a few. If we say obey God's calling, before I formed thee in the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That is Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5 to 10, and it tallies with Amos chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, then Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 10. The Lord calls a certain individual for the prophetic office, some even before they are born, such in the case of Jeremiah. Then number two, lives a godly life. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. Faith in God must accompany good works, for faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That is according to James chapter 2, verse number 17. From this verse, we learn that genuine faith will find expression in unselfish acts to save others. Thus, it was Christ, and thus it will be with all who follow his example. A called person will bear the fruits of righteousness. That is according to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Then, let me explain, teaches the word of God as our number three. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 to 20. The word of God is the standard of truth and the guide to right living. A person that holds this office will teach according to the principles of the scriptures and does not divert from it. You must predict the future events as a prophet. But the prophet now, we shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Now, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 20 to 22. In this case, the proof of a person that holds this credential lies in part in the fulfillment of this prediction. This was found true of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 18 to 21. Then, lastly, the prophets must have visions or dreams. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." Numbers chapter 12, verse number 6. God has ever revealed his will to his servants that have been called for this ministry through visions and dreams, and promises to continue doing so till the end of time. That is according to Joel chapter 2, verse number 28, and Amos 3, verse 7.
So looking at who qualifies Mfundiswami to be a prophet, do we have female prophets looking at the Bible? When we're reading in the Bible, do we have female prophets, or it was only males that were prophets in the biblical times?
Okay, thank you so much for the question. The prophetic office is not limited to female, to male only, but to female also. Several other women demonstrated the prophetic gift in both the Old and New Testament. I'll give you a few names of female prophets and the verses. Now, if you read chapter 15, verse 20, and Numbers 12, verse 2, you will find a prophetess there called him, the sister of Moses. She was a prophetess. Then, in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14, and 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 22, you can find a prophetess there named Huldah. Also as a prophet. Then there's another prophetess again, Noadiah by name. You find here in the book of Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 14. And more so, there were also unnamed the prophetess, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. We found a prophetess there, but her name was not mentioned in the book. Then if you move on to the New Testament, you find the prophetess Anna. That is if you read Acts chapter 2. Then lastly, Philip the evangelist's daughter was also a prophetess. You find her in the book of Acts chapter 21, verse 9. So prophetesses were there in the Bible, both in Old Testament and in the New Testament.
That is good to know. So looking at these modern day churches in Mfundiswami, we call the modern day churches, or these churches now that we, you know, we have in our communities, do these prophets really have gifts? I know there's even a phrase that now has been coined saying it's prophet liars and stuff like that. Do they have the gift of prophecy, or how can we test that indeed Pastor so-and-so is indeed a prophet because he's calling himself a prophet?
Oh, thank you so much for the question. In our modern day times, if you read the Bible very carefully, In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 31, we are told that as the end of time approaches, or the day of the Lord, as many Bible verses described it, this gift will be used all the more to assist the church through difficult times. It also described an increased activity of this gift the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus. The Apostle Peter re-emphasizes this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 18. This refers to the remnant of true believers now, with whom Satan is furious, because no matter how hard he tries, he just can't snuff out the spiritual favor of God's followers. The Holy Spirit now bestows the gift of prophets among this remnant to encourage these followers and hold fast to the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 7. Then the prophetic gift itself, it is a sign of the remnant church near the end of time. We are told that as the end of time approaches, according to Joel chapter 2, as I said before, that this gift will be used all the more to assist the church through difficult times. Now, I want to move on to how can we be sure, or how can we test that this prophecy is true?
Yeah.
Yes, we must look in the Bible now how prophecy was demonstrated. Throughout history, God has given revelations of his will for his people through those with the gift of prophecy. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3, verse number 7.
Mm-hmm.
We have numerous examples in the Bible that shows that a prophetic gift in use. God used the people of all types, personalities, genders, ages, occupations, etc., to deliver his message to others. But now in the New Testament, many of Jesus' followers with this gift assisted in the founding and spreading of the early church. The church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That is according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20 and 21. This means that Jesus Christ is the initial foundation upon which the apostles and the prophets built and initiated the church's mission and outreach. It was through prophets that the Holy Spirit selected Paul and Barnabas for their first missionary journey. That is according to Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and gave directions as to where missionaries should labor. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. Prophets also edified, united, and protected the church. Ephesians 4, verse 12 and 14. And if you read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 and 4, tallies with Ephesians. They often warned of future difficulties, such as famine, Acts chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. Just like Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, God worked through Joseph's prophetic gift as he gave him the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, which led them to store their surplus grain for a famine 7 years later. Then, how to test now the spiritual gift of prophets? The Bible warns us that we may encounter false prophets who try to deceive us. And today, it's almost a reflex to think someone is crazy if they claim to be a prophet or to be exercising the prophetic gift. But the Bible also tells us that not to despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. That is according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. And if you read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, also tells us that to test the spirit to see if their messages are truly from God. When reading through the Bible, there is an easy way to determine when many people in the Bible are demonstrating the prophetic gift.
Mm.
It means receiving and delivering message from God. Look for what some Bible scholars call the prophetic introductory formula or phrasing similar to that says the Lord God of Israel. This is especially the case in the Old Testament. However, it is also possible and still common for the prophetic gift to be used even without this phrasing. Fortunately, the Bible gives us guidelines for telling the difference between a prophecy from God or information from elsewhere.
Mm.
So if you want to know this prophet is a true prophet, now Bible is the yardstick.
Mm-hmm. So is that where, Mfundiswami, as we wrap up for today, as we prepare to continue tomorrow, is that where now, as you're speaking about the Bible being the yardstick, where scripture tells us that we must test the spirits so we can know where they come from?
Yeah, we must test the prophets using the scriptures. I can just give you the same few examples so that we can be able to identify true and false prophets. Number one, does their message agree with the Bible? Look to God's instruction and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. That is according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Number two, if the prophet makes a prediction, does it come true? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Then lastly, number three, does the prophet point people to Jesus as the Savior? A prophet who doesn't believe in Jesus can't be from God. That is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. A bonus one, does the prophet live a godly life and help others live for God? Watch out for false prophets. You can't tell what they really are by what they do. Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16.
Indeed. Fundisi, thank you so much. Hey, today the network was very gracious for us. It was able to hold and we've been able to learn a lot. We're going to have to end it there today as we're going to our week of prayer. But Fundiswami, we're going to be chatting tomorrow. I will text you on which direction we're going to head to tomorrow because I know we are delayed by a day in our conversation. But for today, thank you so much, Fundis.
Welcome. Have a blessed day.
Amen and amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.